Welcome to the Ranking Revolution podcast, your go-to source for strategies and ideas for SEO, organic growth, content creation, and business. I'm your host, Doug Cunnington. In this interview, I talk to Rachel Hernandez of The Hoth, and we talk about two main sort of different topics. One is SEO and SGE. AI, we're talking about Google trying to deal with AI and the reality that we're dealing with all the churn in the SEO industry over the past year or so dealing with AI. The second part is all about reselling services and white labeling. The Hoth has been a white label service for many years, since the very beginning, and Rachel and I talk about that. And we get into the details of how a small agency or a solo entrepreneur or just a company that is growing fast can use the Hoth as an outsourcing solution. So we talk about white labeling, what it means, and some of the best practices around white labeling. I do want to tell you, I am testing something. So I'm launching this new podcast, Ranking Revolution, and I want shorter episodes. So I'm dividing these longer conversations, which typically run about an hour, into two separate topic areas. Thus, we end up with part one and part two, which I am releasing at the same time. And you can listen to both parts. If one interests you more than the other, you can listen to one, skip the other. And the smart people out there, which are listening, so I'm going to call you smart, there's potentially some information I can gather from this. So if I get more downloads on Apple, or I get more downloads and listens over on Spotify, maybe that helps. And that's something that I could share with you later. But in this case, you could just imagine it as a longer episode of your favorite TV show that's divided into two episodes. And if you want to listen to them both, that is fantastic. So I'm going to send it to the interview right now. Today, I'm chatting with Rachel Hernandez of The Hoth. She's the director of marketing, and The Hoth is an SEO and digital marketing company that works with businesses of all sizes. And they also offer white label services for content, link building, managed services, and a whole lot more. She successfully grew in the content department, and I think this was a little while back, from just a handful of freelancers to over 700 dedicated writers, copy editors, and researchers. And funny thing, I started working with The Hoth like almost immediately when I was blogging in 2013 and have had, you know, a loose connection for years. So today we're going to talk about AI. We're going to talk about search generative experience over at Google and a couple, well, whatever we can dig into for AI and SEO. And just to lay the foundation, we're recording in March of 2024. So the very major core update is rolling out and things are in the air. So Rachel and I are just watching like everyone else at this point. The other topic we're going to cover is white label specifics. So a lot of smaller companies or solo operators are working as many hours as they can. And I think this is a topic that people don't talk about very often, just using other services and companies as a, you know, white label solution. So we're going to dig into some details about scaling. So Rachel, I'm excited to chat with you today. How's it going?
Oh my gosh, it's going great. Thank you so much for having me. It's really cool to hear too that you were working with The Hoth back in 2013. We've been around for a while and it's just, I know it's always nice to connect with somebody who was there when we were just kind of rolling things out.
Yeah. And before we dig into all the details, like you've been there for several years. So can you talk about,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. What was it like in those early days? I'm sure it was a little scrappy.
Oh my gosh. It was scrappy in the best way. When I joined the team, we had about, I think like five of us in house. We used to say we were keeping it lean and mean. And like, super well like documented processes and operations just to make sure everything was running smoothly. But since I've been there, we have grown to, I think we have, I want to say we're like 75 team members, many of them at HQ in St. Petersburg. We have an entire floor of a gorgeous building that overlooks the bay. And so, yeah, like to get to be a part of that growth and really be with a company that has like grown that much. But also, I mean, I've been there for 8 years. A lot of my team members have been there for 7 years, 6 years. That's not something you necessarily see a lot these days. So I think it speaks really well to the culture, the operations, the product itself. No one's going to stick around if they're not proud of what they're doing. So it's been really cool.
And I know you guys have won some awards, just like a I don't know what they're called, like great employer in X city, right? A lot of cities have this. But I think, you know, that's kind of rare. I've actually never worked at a place that had a good culture or great morale where they would win awards. I was always like in some toxic culture or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, can you talk a little bit about the culture there and, you know, why people are happy to work at the Hoth?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it absolutely starts from the top. And I certainly have worked in some extremely toxic work environments, the Hoth obviously not being one of them. And it goes to, I believe, like Mark Hargrove is our CEO, and he's the CEO that shows up every day. He is there in office, 9 to 5, open door. It doesn't matter if you are a fellow executive, if you are starting off as a coordinator, you can go in and shoot ideas off of him, and he'll treat you. He'll respect whatever you have to say, and he'll listen. We also have a really strong, what we call our culture doc. So it basically just outlines like all the philosophies of how we treat each other, how we treat our work. And a lot of it comes down to just like taking responsibility, owning what you do, but also like being aware that this is MarTech, this is marketing. You know, we take our job seriously. We work really hard, but this is nothing to like go home and cry about at the end of the day. Like we are all one team. We're all working together, and they respect that like we have lives and like feelings that go beyond SEO, I guess.
So let's get into SEO.
Yeah.
So part one here, we're going to talk about AI, SGE, and really just trying to figure out how to navigate. So as I mentioned before, we are literally in the middle of a big core update, and this seems like one of the bigger ones that has rolled out ever. Multiple systems are being updated. So I know that I was experimenting with SGE, and I didn't love it, and it's hard to tell like where Google is going. I mean, just with algorithm updates, it's been difficult in the last couple of years. But can you talk a little bit about the role SGE will play in SEO and what we need to be aware of? I'm sure it'll be fluid, but where do you see it from where you sit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think like everybody is sort of in a panic about SGE, and we're hearing reports that some websites are going to lose like 25% of their organic traffic. And but I agree with what you said just a few minutes ago is I don't know if Google necessarily knows where they're going with it either, or with AI in general. What I will say is every time there's like a change like this or a big core algorithm update, like this one we're seeing now, it always is cause for people to, and I'm not putting this, like start taking a look at your processes, start taking a look at what you're doing. But this has always been an industry that's been constantly evolving. And if you came into SEO and you were thinking, all I need to do is like build some backlinks and add some content to my website and I'm going to own the SERPs, like this might not be the industry for you. Because even in the past, like even if you look at a Google results page from like 5 years ago, it looks so different than what it looks like today. And that's before SGE. I've been saying this lately, and I one day I might come up with a better term for it, but Google's becoming googlier. So you're not getting just a list of websites. You're getting people also ask. You are getting, depending on your search intent, maybe you're getting some e-commerce results or some images. Now we're seeing like forums, like what are people saying on Reddit or on Quora? And what we have to do as SEOs, because we are optimizing for the SERPs, for the Google machine or whatever, is start creating content that like meets the user wherever they're at with that search intent. And that's not always going to be like a product page on your website. So when it comes to SGE, I'm saying the same thing. And to me, SGE also, I have to say, is like what I would advise people to do, because we don't have any data right now about how it's being optimized. I would say I would treat it as we treated featured snippets and rich snippets before. I think it's going to be a very similar process. And with that, it's optimizing for those long tail keywords, a very, very direct question that somebody would punch into Google. And that doesn't necessarily lead to a click on your website. But if you have that like long tail keywords, that topical authority, Google is going to see that as the answer to the question directly. And then that will show up in SGE. So that's kind of my advice right now. And again, it is all very like wait and see, but I tend to try and go off of like what we know works and what we know has worked before. And for SGE specifically, I would say, again, treat it like you would optimize for a featured snippet. And then again, for everything else, you know, if you're brick and mortar, optimize to be in the map pack, watch your reviews, check out your Google business profile. If you are an e-commerce site, like optimize your images for your keywords so they show up when somebody has an intent to buy, and repurpose with video and use YouTube. Like there's so many other ways for us to optimize our websites that go beyond that like traditional SEO that we were doing 10 years ago.
And just to dig a little bit deeper for the specific strategy, long tail keywords in a direct quick answer versus a long 500 word narrative, just like give people the freaking answer, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, and you don't have to like, the way I would advise doing this is through content on your website, obviously quality content, not AI content. We can dig into that for a second, but you can do a long form post, but those H2s that you put in, have them be a question, a subtextual question, a connective question that relate back to that larger topic that you're writing about. And then you write your little short, succinct answer to whatever that long tail keyword in the headline is that gets crawled. And then that shows up as a result in the SGE and might even still lead people back to your website.
One thing that I've said for a couple of years, and luckily there's several videos where I've talked about this. So there's documentation of it. Basically, there's two reasons that I would do this thing. So number one, if someone would ask a question, they laid out a scenario, like how to get featured snippets or SGE or whatever. And if I didn't know the answer, I would usually say, just forget about Google for a second. Think about the end user, because Google could change what they want, and they do change what they want. So at the end of the day, if you just like give the answer that's most helpful in as few words as possible, that's probably going to be the best thing. And I think, I mean, the good part is like you could take off your tinfoil hat and it's just like give the answer to the person. It doesn't matter the search engine. So no question, but can you elaborate on that if you have any comments?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, agreed 100%. And I think that's such an important point to make, because we can, especially as SEOs, get so caught up in what Google is doing. But at the end of the day, it's all the same. If you are consistently putting the work in to make your website more user-friendly, to give relevant answers to people's questions, to follow your customers or your users' line of thinking so that you meet them wherever you're at. I like did a, this was a long time ago, post on LinkedIn that like took off. And all I said was real SEOs don't worry about algorithm updates. And I think that's absolutely true, because real SEOs, we're actually doing the work on the website to make sure that it's not optimized necessarily for Google, but it's optimized for the user, which if Google is doing their job, and I think they are, because they got a lot of really smart people working there, you're still doing what Google wants, and you never have to worry about anything.
And it holds true for any kind of content that you're creating as well. The best practices will change on LinkedIn or TikTok or Reels or whatever, or a YouTube video. But at the end of the day, like, you could just use that as your North Star. And usually it points you in the right direction because you're ignoring like any flash in the pan of algorithm updates, no matter the platform.
Yeah. And imagine like the energy spent worrying about how to react to an algorithm update or whatever. Imagine taking that energy and actually putting it into making your website better for the people who you're actually selling to. Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of tangent here, but the other part, so I'm more of a content creator now than an mm-hmm. SEO. I was always more of a dabbler, yeah. But now I'm clearly moving in the opposite direction. But as a content creator, I am trying to create new things. So my content is usually not derivative of anyone else. However, when we look at the SERPs, and I mean, really the best practices for years, this was, okay, see what's out there and then copy that, do a little bit better. And it worked for a long time, you know, skyscraper technique, Backlinko, yeah. Brian Dean, great strategy. Yeah. I mean, it was, it's how you write research papers and stuff, right? So there's nothing wrong with it, but inherently it's derivative on other stuff. Can you talk a little bit about like new, fresh, original content, new ideas, new combinations of ideas versus like just regurgitating the same old stuff?
Yeah. And I think that people get confused when they hear quality content. And I'm a content person too. Like, I came into SEO because I was a writer. And that just sort of was the natural progression for me personally. Yes. And that also plays into AI. So if you don't mind, if we kind of start diving into that, because the thing with AI, and I was comparing it to somebody doing a Google search, kind of taking, okay, these are the top three results. This is, Google wants it to be this long. They want it to touch these things, these headers, and there are still plenty of tools that do really well with AI essentially does that, right? AI content is all generated from what's already there. And there is no particular like point of view or next step associated with it, which is why I think we're going to start to see it devalued more and more, even if Google can't necessarily tell it's AI. It can tell that there is nothing new or original that provides value. So I would say, like, I love AI as a writing tool, but I use it as sort of like a baseline brainstorm what I would do before when I would go through and do a Google search and say, okay, I'm writing a piece about this. So I'm going to take some ideas from here. I'm going to take some ideas from there. And that's going to be my jumping off point. But at the end of the day, I always put my own spin, my own interpretation, my own conclusions on top of the research that I've made. And any good, again, like, that is how you write a research paper, right? But any good research paper has, you know, like, some sort of point they're driving towards that is something somebody hasn't said before. AI content doesn't allow us to do that by itself. But what I do like about these tools is that it makes it easier for us to get to the point where we have more room to have those big ideas and those great ideas. I know if I'm not wasting time kind of like proverbially like pounding my head against a blank piece of paper and I have a starting off point, I have so much more room to get imaginative, to get creative, to really humanize my content more, and to take it to that next level. So where I think AI is like very dangerous in some ways and can be very dangerous to websites who are trying to take shortcuts, just as it was before, it also offers us the opportunity and space to really ideate on a higher level. And that to me as a content creator is super exciting. I think I answered your question. I've been thinking about it a lot.
That's great. Well, in couple things. It did. I don't even know if I had a question, but it was a perfect segue to AI. So there was a period, I think for about a year, that's ending right now. So it was very hot and interesting for people to bulk publish AI content. And there's been a ton of sites that have been de-indexed like in the last week. And it's been, I mean, I think everyone knew it was going to be short-lived, but I don't think anyone thought it was going to be a bunch of de-indexings, manual actions, and that sort of thing. What have you seen? Because you probably have visibility into a lot of sites and a lot of clients and stuff like that. So can you talk about sort of the landscape right now? Again, this is a timely little thing, but it's interesting, and I want to hear what you know.
Yeah, I mean, so obviously, like once this rollout was announced, our team has been working like we have tons of people just monitoring what's going on. And we're lucky in the sense, like, we've never had AI content. I don't put it on our own site. We mentioned at the beginning of this talk, like, all of our writers who create the content for our blogs. And if we're doing link outreach for you, they're all human writers. So we've never had to worry about that, personally. But yes, what we are seeing, and to be very clear, the manual penalties, this is pretty new. Like, it's not new, but Google kind of took a break from them, where you wouldn't get like a de-index or a manual penalty to your site unless if something was very egregious. It just wouldn't count. Like, so it would be a waste of resources, but you wouldn't necessarily lose your whole website. Now, what we're seeing, and not like with our own client base, just I'm on, you know, SEO Twitter or X or whatever, SEO Reddit, like in Facebook groups, is one, people who have been using that AI content are getting de-indexed. It doesn't necessarily mean that Google can recognize when content has some sort of AI. It probably just means that content came onto your website hard and fast, and it's not very good and it's not very relevant. So we are seeing manual penalties there. And two, there have been, and this is something that's new, domains that have been purchased because they had a high domain authority or domain rating, or, you know, whichever term you want to call it, and then were repurposed simply for like guest posts or to sell links. Those sites are also being de-indexed as well. And that is new. And that, to me, is actually kind of, I'm of two minds about it. I think, obviously, if you're purchasing a website with a high DA just to sell backlinks, like, that's not necessary. That's pretty black hat SEO. I do think, though, if you purchased a website and you're repurposing it for your own purposes, and it's not just to manipulate Google, you shouldn't get de-indexed because you bought a website like that. That's
normal.
Yeah, it's pretty normal. But we are seeing that as well. So at this point, I think with Google, for the first time in a while, they still have the market share, right? They still have like 90% of the search market share. But this is the first time where we've seen like Bing kind of get talked about, where TikTok as a search engine is coming up, where people are going to different places to do search. It's time for them to crack down, honestly, because in order for them to maintain that market share in a time where things are becoming more and more competitive and it is easier for people to create content than ever before, they need to make sure that the results are quality. And going back to what we were saying before, our jobs as SEOs is not to manipulate Google rankings. It's to provide a great user experience that, you know, Google will reward with, you know, great standings in the SERPs.
I was surprised that it took so long for Google to crack down on the, you know, link farm situation. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, some of them were so clear where, yeah. I mean, you could just see the same links in various different articles. And if you just, you know, me as an unqualified person, I could just like find these very easily. And there were so many of them, you know, huge industry of reselling and reselling. It's kind of crazy.
I mean, we have like, cause we do, build backlinks as part of our company. And, I used to be, I was the director of content services at the Hop when I was doing the product stuff. And so I was in charge of our backlink products, and we had like such stringent qualifications for somebody to like for us to publish like a guest post or do a link insertion or a niche edit on somebody's site. It is something like once you know, you can spot it a mile away. Like they all look the same. They've all got the same header. They all have like a section that's like entertainment, sports, politics, like world news. You're like, what is this website actually about? You know, and every post has a link to, you know, Ryan's automotive service or whatever. And I feel like AI content, though, is the same. Anybody who's like on, I'm on LinkedIn a lot. So I see it there a lot of the time. Or if you see the paid ad, like it's getting so obvious. It loves an emoji. If you're writing ad copy or social media copy, let me tell you, I made this comparison the other day, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but back like in the mid-aughts when, you know, like all those MLMs were taking off and like every of their posts like looked exactly the same or their outreach messages. That's how AI content, when it doesn't have that like human element, feels to me. And if I can spot it, I'm sure there are those figures that Google can spot as well, even though, again, I don't know if they'll ever be able to like 100% really tell if something's AI. But man, there are some indicators that I think anyone could recognize.
one interesting thing, and then we'll move on to the white label stuff here, but there were all these manual actions, and it's been years, again, like you said, unless you were doing some very just intense link building activity or something like that, like something very obvious, you wouldn't get a manual penalty. I feel like it was like 2014 or 2015 with like PBMs and stuff. I got caught up in that mess back in those days, but it sort of indicates that Google can't algorithmically detect these reliably, in my opinion. Otherwise, why would they do this manually, right? So do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when Panda came out in, I forget what year, I should know this.
2012 or something.
2012. A lot of good sites were hit, basically. There was like a lot of collateral damage came with that first like big link spam date. And that's personally why I think they rolled it so that you wouldn't necessarily get a manual penalty. But now, I mean, it's been 10 years. Like, the algorithm has become more advanced, and they do have more resources. And I will say the sites that have been de-indexed that I've seen had it coming. Like I don't know if I personally haven't seen that much collateral damage yet. And we'll see that how that goes. And maybe they will start de-indexing sites that didn't necessarily deserve it, and they'll roll that back again. But like we said, you know, we're in the middle of this. It's been live for 8 days. And because there are so many elements to this rollout, I don't expect us to see how things really shake out until probably like the first week of April, if that. So if you are, I don't know when this is published, but like, if you are seeing some volatility, with your rankings, it's not necessarily means that this is long term for you. This happens when there's a big rollout. Things can go up and down, and you're really not going to see the true impact, I would say, for about a month after the rollout.
Yeah, it's always stressful wading through it. So. Yeah, you just have to wait it out. Okay, so before we move on, is there anything else with SGE or AI or anything else to wrap it up?
Yeah, I mean, again, like we're in the middle. I have been, you know, I do some speaking at conferences, and you have to submit your topic ahead of time, and you have to submit your slides ahead of time. And man, these past 2 years, I am updating those slides like on the plane, because I'm like, something happened yesterday. Everybody's talking about this thing. I would just say, like, keep your ear to the ground. Keep watching things like this. Don't panic. Like, this is always been happening. It just happens to be going on at a faster pace because we have more technology. But the main tenets of SEO, regardless of an update, regardless of AI, they always remain the same. And I think we touched on those.
That wraps up part one with Rachel from The Hoth. We'll put links to her socials and The Hoth and anything else that you might want to get to related to this episode in the show notes. So do check it out. If you want to check out part two, I would greatly appreciate it. That's where we talk about white labeling and being a reseller. So really interesting stuff, especially if you need help outsourcing, a company like The Hoth might be a perfect solution. So do check that out. Finally, if you want to help out the show, be sure you subscribe so you get new episodes, download all the episodes. I'm trying to do somewhat of a big launch. And no matter when you hear this, if you download as many episodes as possible, that's great. If you're watching over on YouTube, leave a comment, like the video, and leave a review. So I'm giving you a bunch of calls to action, which is a little bit of a sin. But when you get a chance, I really do appreciate it. Thanks a lot. We'll catch you in the next episode.